If you get to 1 Peter, you got to go back to your left and pick up the book of James. And if you get over to Hebrews, you better head to the right. Amen. So get us over in the book of James tonight. I'm just going to thought about going with the whole chapter, but some of you look like you want breakfast, so I thought I would just pick out a couple of verses here and give you a little bit of context about it. James chapter 4, we'll look at two verses. Beginning in verse 13 and verse 14, talk to you a little bit. This is what, second Sunday, I guess, in the new year. I'll talk to you a little bit about what's going to happen tomorrow. And I'm talking about tomorrow in a symbolic way, all the tomorrows, the future. And of course, the text here tells us we don't know. But there are some things we can know. It says in verse 13, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And generally on this text we would preach on that vanishing life, how temporary it is, and all of that is so true, but I don't want to necessarily just deal with that. I want to deal a little bit with the thought about what, in a sense, tomorrow might bring. Do you ever think about it? Today was, let me see if I get that right. Today is the tomorrow you thought about yesterday? Something like that. Did I get it right? Anyway, time moves on, don't it? And I just met with a family down there at the funeral home a while ago, and many in that family I went to school with and so forth. And boy, oh boy, time passes on, young folks. It really moves on. Tomorrow's come. And as we look in the book of James a little bit, it's a little bit of a controversial book in the New Testament. Some folks don't think it ought to be there. I believe it's there. Some folks argue about which James that wrote it. I don't care. God's the one wrote it. And he put it in here for us. So that's not my problem. Amen. And some say, well, it disagrees with Paul. No, it don't. Paul hadn't written when this one was written. And there's no disagreement. And you say, well, I don't know what he believed about Christ. He believed what you believe about him. He believed he was the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, and he's our Savior. If you were to look in chapter 2 and pick it up in verse 1, you find him referring to that. He says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons." And then he gets into that part. But he tells you that he recognizes the truth, the gospel, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And so we can understand that. Somebody says, well, he didn't know anything about being born again. I think maybe he did. As I turn over and look at it, if you were to pick it up here with me in the book of James, pick it up in chapter 1 in verse 18. Verse 18 says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Now notice, begat he us with what? The word of truth. Go over right here, it's real close. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 1, pick it up in verse 23. And 1 Peter 1, 23 says, "Being born again," that's the term. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." That's the way you get born again. The Holy Spirit regenerates us, but the word's involved. Amen? Amen. And so we understand that a little bit. So don't worry about James. James is written from a practical viewpoint. James says, if you want to show me your faith, show it to me by the works it produces. It's a production thing James got in mind. He's down there where the tire meets the road, and we all need a little bit more of seeing fruit instead of just talking about, I got faith. Well, let's see your faith. The only way you can show it to somebody is by what you do. That's right. How it motivates you, how it moves you, how you act on it, amen? That's what's important for us to know. A man can only see my works I do because of my faith. Amen. Now I want to deal just a little bit here with some things that we can know from the Bible. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Somebody wrote a great song about that. But we do know who holds tomorrow. Amen. And we can get that picture. But as we kind of get the new year off and going, it's okay to ask questions. What's coming? And I'll tell you, the best way to know about the tomorrows is know what the book says about them. Amen. God's word. And you won't go wrong, you won't go astray when you deal with what God has to say about things. One of the big questions in the news right now, and of course it's been there for a good long time now, but one of the questions is, and I'm going to ask a bunch of questions tonight and see if I can answer some of them from the Word. Somebody says, what about the economy? We'll go to chapter 5 right here in front of you and pick it up in verse 1. And it says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. If you're trusting in riches, that's what you get to look forward to. That's what your tomorrow's hold. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. And somebody pointed out that gold and silver only canker under what is it? Under nuclear fission. Might not be a good thing to have sometime if that comes our way. Gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last days. Now, I'm not sure the last days here is in the context of the return of the Lord, but maybe the last days of life. Maybe the last days, you know, folks are so concerned about security. How is it going to work? I'll tell you how it's going to work. No matter how much you save, you're going to need a little more. That's pretty well the way it works. But hoarding it up for the last days are not necessarily a good thing right here. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to face God with it all hoarded and left down on earth that I could have been using for His glory. Amen. And so the economy, well, it don't look so good if you read the newspaper, if you hear the news. What we got happening today is change. And by the way, change can come so quickly. We've seen that in what's called the recession now, haven't we? I think of a story over in the Old Testament. Just mark your place here and go over with me to the Old Testament. Go over to 2 Kings. There's a great story, tremendous story in the nation of Israel in Samaria. And in chapter 6 and 7, and I'll just have to reference it a little bit. Go with me over there and we'll take just a little look at it here. You find out, to kind of skip a little bit, that Israel's got in trouble because an evil king wanting their destruction has come and camped against them. You pick it up in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And that's kind of what's still going on today. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head, now watch the grocery list here, until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Now that'd be a shopping spree, wouldn't it? But now listen to me. This is telling you how desperate they were for food. This is telling you what a high price was put on it. And if you go on down through the story, you find the king walking out. And he has a woman holler at him. And she tells him what a spot they're in. And I don't know if this really happened or if she's just trying to get the king's attention. But she hollers out to him and she says, you need to deal with this woman with me. Yesterday, she promised that if we would cook my son and eat it, today we could cook her son and eat it. You know what she's telling the king? She's saying, things are desperate. And the king begins to rend his clothes. And the king knows that that the prophet has prophesied and is said these bad times was coming. And he decides he'll kill the messenger, the prophet. You know, a lot of folks like that today. They don't like what the preacher says. They think he wrote the Bible. They think he's the one invented. Oh, no, we're just telling you what God said. And the king didn't like that. He didn't like that at all. So he said in verse 32, then he said, God do so and more also to me if the head of Elisha, the son of Shebat, shall stand on him this day. In other words, he believes the prophet, Elisha, has brought God's judgment on him, so he's going to kill the prophet. But if you read the story a little bit further, Elisha's sitting in his house and some people are around with him. And the king sends a messenger to him, but then the king apparently follows the messenger. And Elisha sees him coming before he gets there. And if you dropped over and picked it up in chapter 7, then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord? Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time, in other words, 24 hours, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley, not an ass's head, not a cab of dove's dung, but good food, the flour, the barley. They're going to be sold for a shekel at a decent price in the gate of Samaria. Now, this next part really gets close to my heart. Then a bureaucrat. That's Hebrew. No, that's Mickey Carter interpretation. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned, that's his right-hand man now, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might this thing be. In other words, Elisha, you're saying good grocers are going to be sold at a fair price tomorrow, 24 hours from now. God would have to open the windows of heaven. He didn't believe the prophet. And he said, and this is the answer of the prophet. And he, the prophet, Elisha said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. For you doubting, mister, for you doubting God, you'll see it, but you won't get to eat of it. Now, I'm not going to go through the rest of the story, but how many of you remember what happened? You remember how the four lepers went and sat outside the gate of Samaria, and they come to a decision. They were lepers. They were on the outside. They were starving. The famine was inside the city, and they had a little powwow, and they said among themselves, they said, look, we just going to die here. Let's go down to the camp of the Samaritans where they've got plenty. All they can do is kill us. But when they went in, God had brought a great noise. And he scared the Samaritans, and they left everything, left the food on the table, left it all. And the lepers went in there and done what you and I would do. They filled up. Then they grabbed the gold and silver, and then all of a sudden their conscience struck them and said, we got brethren in the city that needs to know this good news. So they went and told the city. And guess what? Just like today, when the announcement of plenty was made, and a blue light cell was on, they all ran for the entrance. But you know, the government had to regulate it. So the bureaucrat, the lord that the king leaned on, he put him in charge of it at the door. You know what happened? Yeah, he got trampled. He heard about it, but he didn't get to eat none of it. Amen. God's got a divine humor. I believe it has. I'm saying to you, the economy can change that quick. It can change for good. It can change for bad. Don't put your trust in it. Don't put your hope in it. You just can't count on it. Look at what we got going on today. They got a bill, and they got a bunch of bills up there, but they got a bill called cap and trade. That's a joke. That's a control grab. That's all it is. Just to, listen, you say, what does that mean? That thing of trading, cap and trade, has to do with your carbon footprint. Now, if you want me to give you a good example, Al Gore can fly his big jet while he talks about global warming. But because in his cap and trade in some third world country, he bought some credits, some carbon credits, which allows him to burn it up because he's saving somewhere else. You understand? That means when he pulls his wagon up to the gas pump, he can buy a high test. While the rest of us hope we can get some of the cheap stuff and get on down the road. What you got in government is a grab for control everywhere you look. And let me say to you, carbon emissions, oh, it's going to destroy the planet. No, it means a way to control the population. What it really means is we'll control production and distribution. And that makes every dictator happy because he's got control of everything. When he can control the production and the distribution, he's the boss. And that's what you see in third world countries. That's what you see in takeover in America. It's a dictator's pipe dream. It's the joy of what he's looking for is to control everything. And yes, I'm talking about America. You say, preacher, how would you fix it? Just like that. We got a new governor in that says he's going to freeze the regulations. You pray for him. Amen. If he could fix the economy. if he would give it a try and didn't get killed. And I want to say to you, I know he's listening tonight. So Governor Rick Scott, listen to me. You've got the answer to the economy. Do just what you said and freeze the regulations. Amen. Got to fix it. So what would you suggest? I'd suggest going back to the rules and regulations we had in the 50s. Maybe 1955 would be a good year. You know what that'd fix? You wouldn't have no more alligator problems. You wouldn't have any more birds building nests stopping million-dollar road projects. No, I'm talking to you. Regulations choking our country to death. Our small businesses are choking on nothing but this paperwork they got to fill out and the fees they got to pay and the permits they got to buy. And if we could stop the regulation, the economy would come back overnight. We're stifling the independence of Americans. We are stifling their ingenuity. The free enterprise that built this country is choked to death because the dictators are taking over. That's why the economy is in a mess and getting worse. I'm sorry, I don't care what the liberal media is saying. The worst is still ahead, folks. Say, so how do you hear it? Well, I got some Bible on it. In fact, if you'll go to, I don't want you to right now for time's sake, but read Revelation chapter 6. Read when the four horsemen show up. That's an economic mess that brings on famine. Now, I hope it don't come until we get out of here, but it could. I'm saying to you, our tomorrows, don't put your trust in the economy. The regulations, the foolishness of government is amazing. Did you see in the paper this week where they said we got too much fluoride in the water? Now, wait a minute. Who put it there? How come we're so dumb we can't remember? Hey, I've been preaching from this pulpit a long time. I can dig up probably somewhere in some of these archives some tapes where I preached against them putting fluoride in the water. I did. I remember getting 2 jars of water. One out of the creek at camp and one out of the spigot here in Haines City. Not your bottled water. They didn't even sell it then. People wouldn't have bought it then. And I set them in the refrigerator, a little refrigerator I had in my office, and I set them in there because I was having an argument and a fuss with a bunch of bureaucrats that was wanting to mess with our water. I set them both in the refrigerator to see which one would turn green first. Guess which one did. I'm telling you the truth. I got my hand on the Bible. I made an experiment. I didn't cheat on it. I just saw what happened. Hey, you're drinking the green stuff. I'm telling you the truth. You said, no, I buy my water. You have no idea where it come from. No idea. Not only that, you're paying more for that than you are the gas going in your car. You ever figure that up? Well, anyway, cheaper to drink gas. It's Sunday night. Some of you showed up, bless God. The tomorrows, what's the promise of the tomorrows? By the way, fluoride was good for us back then, now it's not good. Coffee was good, that's bad. It was good again, that's bad again. So what'd I do? Well, I had a cup with John Wayne this morning. Just before church tonight, I had a cup with Barney Fife. We share it. I'm going to just keep on doing what common sense tells me to do, and common sense tells me to follow the Word of God and throw all this other stuff on the bus. Amen? Amen. What's going to happen tomorrow? The economy? I don't know. Could go up, could go down, but it's man-manipulated. That's what it is. Let me also say war is going to happen tomorrow. Is war going to happen? I'm trying to put a question mark on these things. Look at it here in chapter 4 and verse 2 of the book of James. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust, that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. What's being said right here? I'll tell you what's being said. James is saying war is going to keep on coming because it comes from within. It comes from the lust. It comes from the depravity. It comes from the sinful nature. And if just plan on the war tomorrow, and if it rains, it'll be held in the stadium, somebody said. But you can count on it. You can count on it. That's where it comes from. It keeps coming. Right now, Korea is trying to extort money out of us by threatening war. Iran is not quite as loud as at the minute as it has been because Israel put a worm in their computer. It tickles me good. They were looking for the planes to come in, and they may yet. While they were looking for the planes, they stuck a computer worm in there and messed them up. Stopped their new nuclear reactor from working. Oh, that tickles me. But war is planned. That's what's planned for tomorrow. And as I read the Bible, I see a lot of plans for war to come. And folks, if you're trusting in what the government of this nation or that nation is going to do, you're trusting, my friend, in a spider web. It's going to let you down. It's going to let you down. You know, man's answer is to go global. He thinks the answer is to get rid of the Jew because the Jew is the only one that'll fight a war for real. The rest of them are pretty much staged. I hate it for our boys doing their best and bleeding on the battlefield, but they have not yet turned them loose to get the enemy. If they turned them loose, brother, we'd have finished that job and been on back home with a whole lot less lives. Amen. That could have happened in Korea, it could have happened in Vietnam, and it certainly could happen in Iraq and Afghanistan. But the trouble is, it's a political thing that's going on. A bunch of guys up there that don't have to bleed, don't have to go through the conditions that our young men are going through. Man thinks the answer is to go global. And what he don't know is as he messes with the Jew, he's building up for Armageddon. He's building up when he tries to annihilate the Jew for God finally to have his fury come up in his face. And you read it in the book of Ezekiel, he's coming back to deal with that. You read it in Revelation 19, he's coming back leading the armies of heaven. And brother, there's going to be something to face then when they have to face God. You see what it is today. It's building and building. What we see is this attitude, Antichrist attitude, that says no Jesus anywhere under any conditions. That's right. But boy, are they going to face him at Armageddon? No. Did you ride around any during the Christmas break and notice the signs outside of our public school buildings? Did you see the word Christmas break on any of them? Come on, listen to me. We just tell the truth here, whether you like it or not. I can point to the sign over here, and I can point to the sign over here. You know what it said? It said winter break. Winter holidays. Didn't say Christmas. Can't say Christ. Oh, yeah. In a little town like this, yeah. Jesus is a bad word. Jesus is not politically correct. But it's that Jesus they're going to face. Yeah, they're going to face him. I'll guarantee you they're going to face him. I'll tell you what's coming. The economy up or down. War, sooner or later. That's what tomorrow's hold. Rapture, I believe our tomorrows are holding it, and I believe it's close. As I look over in the book of Revelation, I see the letter to the seven churches over there. If you wanted to go over there and pick it up in about Revelation chapter 3, I'd like for you to pick up on the next to the last of the seven churches. The last one is the Laodicean church, but the one before that is called the Philadelphian church. It's a church that means brotherly love. It's a church that pictures a time in history when the church probably was doing the best job on planet Earth, when it was the most fundamental, straight with the Word of God, honoring God, reaching souls, standing for what was right than any other age in history. I'd like to believe this church I pastor is that kind of church, but we have to fight to stay that kind of church. Amen. I pick it up in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, and I love this promise. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Notice, involves keeping the word. That's what we stand for here. We keep the word. We don't pervert the word. We don't change the word. We don't dilute the word. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. You know what the hour of temptation is? It's a tribulation period. Hey, here's a promise. We're not going through it as a church. We're going above it. We're going to get called out of here. Bless God, I believe the trumpet could sound tomorrow. I'm preaching about what could happen tomorrow. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen tonight. It could happen in the few tomorrows that God gives us in 2:11. I don't know. But I know it's going to happen one of these days. Amen. While we wait, we're going to see some things. Jesus said men's heart would fail them because of the things they'd begin to see coming. And he's talking in the context of the coming tribulation period. Yeah. Oh yeah, we're going to see some things while we wait for the trumpet to sound. We're going to see things wax worse and worse. Paul told Timothy they would, that evil men would wax worse and worse. We're not only going to see wickedness wax worse, we're going to see, listen to me close, weirdness. Now, I'm not talking about tattoos and earrings and low pants. All that's weird enough. I saw two boys walking down the street today, Jim. If they'd let go of their hand, they'd have tripped. They'd have been around their ankles. But see, Hollywood, I said this the other day, Hollywood has told them that's the way they're supposed to do, so they're doing it. Amen. Some of you ladies, you're dressing like Hollywood or like the Lord wants you to dress. I know I run a good sermon, but I'm just telling you. Just telling you. Anyway, let's understand something. There's some weirdness going to show up. Some weirdness is already showing up. The killing that was Stephen referred to about what happened yesterday. Do you understand how cheap life is becoming? Do you understand with no foundation, no moral basis, no principles of God, life becomes cheap? You go over to where Jesus Christ has not been preached, where the Word of God is not gone, and you'll find out for a few dollars you didn't have anybody killed. Yeah. And it's getting that way in America. What'd they have? 15 killed at Mexican, near the Mexican border, 14 of them beheaded, one head hanging from a bridge a few days before. Just life is cheap. That's weird to me. Man, I was raised to believe life was precious. And it is precious in the eyes of God. But when you start killing unborn babies, it's not long before you start killing grandmas and grandpas. And after that, it's not long before you just kill anybody that gets in your way. And that's kind of what's happening. Immorality. I believe it was, I don't know who it was gave me this. It was George Bradford, I believe, this morning gave me this. Talk about immorality. Talk about weirdness. Talk about going against everything God stands for. Here's a title right here. This is a little Fox News report that Brother George gave me this morning. I'll read a little bit of it. Mother and father, the two words, mother and father, changing to parent number one and parent number two on passport applications. Because they want to be gender neutral. So the words on the old form passport was mother and father. But the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Passport Services say they are now parent one and parent two. Wonder who they're accommodating. That's against the Man and Woman Marriage Act. That's the way to get around it. This is two homos. Did you see in the news this week where, who was it, great day, John Denver and his boyfriend? Huh? Is he dead? Oh, I have another one of them that's still alive. There's a pile of them. They had a baby. Now, it announced in the news these two, can I say the word queers? Well, you understand what I'm talking about. I hate to beat around the bush. These two fellows, it was announced in the paper, had a baby. And with a straight face, they announced it like they could reproduce and have a baby. That's a lie to hell. It's crazy. They either adopted one, had some woman to get artificially inseminated, or whatever you call it. Hey, it's sin. It's dirty. It's filthy. It's a slap at God Almighty and His Word. I saw where, and this is no trope, two lesbians, one of them was announcing that she was carrying the baby, that they were having a baby. I just tell them one thing, it was not produced by two women. But that's where we're at, folks. Weird. Weird. Weird things are coming. Weird things that are gonna be scary. I'm telling you the truth. Weirdness yet ahead. We talk about the weather. It seems like it's a little out of control. I went up to Maryland to see where they left the door open. I couldn't find it, but I did find some of the white stuff that was causing the cold. But anyway, with all that said and done, the weather has seemed to be out of control for a long time, along with the natural phenomena of earthquakes and tornadoes and all that business. But how about the weird stuff? How about 4,000 birds falling out of the air and dead? Not only the birds, but the fishes. And we understand, now if that was Florida fish, they froze to death. I understand that. But in all truth, some weird things are happening. Jesus said some things was going to be happening. It caused men's hearts to fail them. Things that they see. Folks, I'm saying to you that the rapture is in our tomorrows, our very near tomorrows, as I see what's going on in the world and read this book. I know I taught some of this in my college class. May have said something about it in Sunday school here in the Bible class in the mornings, probably did. But I told you that they're concerned about the shift in the poles. All right, here's something I got. North Pole shifting 40 miles a year. Runways affected. Runways? Airplane runways over here at Tampa. This is from over there. Got quiet out there. Scientists say the Earth's magnetic North Pole is moving, so officials at Tampa International Airport are relabeling the main runway to reflect the change. I hope they get it changed before I land again. Bless God. All right, joking around. Airport officials closed the runway until January 13th to repaint numeric designators and change signs, taxiway signs. The runway has been labeled on aviation charts as 18R, 36L, indicating its location along the 180-degree approach from the north and the 360-degree approach from the south. It will become 19R-1L. Things changing 40 miles a year. Do you understand the North Pole? Do you understand a regular compass don't work on the North Pole? Do you understand the magnetic poles and a little bit of that business and the magnetic core of the earth and the magnetic shield that's supposed to shield us from all the disaster rays that come from the sun and all that business? Things are changing, folks. Weird things are happening. I know this is not the Twilight Zone. I'll get to that in a minute. The change was required by the Federal Aviation Administration to account for a gradual shift of the Earth's magnetic pole at nearly 40 miles a year. It's moving toward Russia. It's being caused by magnetic changes in the planet's core. Got that? Now you say, boy, what does that mean? Well, it just means the Bible's being fulfilled. You don't think so? Turn to Isaiah chapter 24. Run over to Isaiah chapter 24. I think I taught this in college because it seems like one of the little girls in my class come up to me after I read this verse and she said, what are we going to do? What's going to happen if the earth flips over? I said, you and I don't have to worry about it. If we say we don't need to stand on it any longer. Amen. Pick it up with me in Isaiah chapter 24. You still with me? Wake that guy upside of you right there. This will wake you up. Look at it here, verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. I didn't write that. There it is, Isaiah 24, verse 1. Say, what would happen if the magnetic pole just keeps on going? What used to happen to that old-fashioned pinball machine when it tilted? You remember that? Some of you don't have any idea. No, you can't play it in your hand. It was a big old machine, stood on four legs, had some pretty lights on it. But wait a minute. If you bumped it too much, it tilted. Now listen to me. Anything that gets out of balance after a while flips on over. Is this bothering you? The truth is, it don't take God by surprise that they're having to repaint the runway at the airport. Amen. Don't take him by surprise. I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but I know what the book says. And if you wanted to follow that a little further, you'd just go a little bit deeper in chapter 24 and you'd find out the earth's going to really do something. It says in verse 19, the earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean, dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof, that's sin, folks, shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. I didn't write it. I'm just saying to you some weird things are coming in our tomorrows. And you say, you don't act like it bothers you. I've got an escape plan. I've had it for years. The premiums have never gone up. They were all paid in advance. Amen. That's the rapture. Getting out of here. Getting out of here. Oh, I tell you what. I get mad at the things humans do. I get mad at the bureaucrats and the choking of the regulations and the government finding another way to get taxes out of everybody and raising fees on everything and all of that business. But I want to say, and some of you are listening to me out there, some of you bureaucrats are listening. Some of you inspectors are listening. I want to say to you out there, God has got your number. And if you rob the people and keep the robbing up that's going on, sooner or later, God's going to deal with you. And when you go out with your little job, like that little Lord that got stampeded on over there and stamped on over there at the door when the famine broke, I want to tell you, God knows when you're persecuting the people that's having a hard time paying the bills and you making it worse over a bunch of silly little rules and regulations. You don't even understand yourself. You say, but therefore you're good. Somebody told you that. Oh, I'm going to get back to what I said a while ago. I wish the governor would listen to me and go right back and freeze these regulations. Amen. Fix the economy. Can you imagine what would happen? Can you imagine what would happen if we got rid of the FDA, the IRS, the DOT, the FCC, and the EPA, and the ACLU, and... And the GKW, how many of you know what the GKW stands for? It stands for goodness knows what. All that mess. Could wipe it out in a little while. You ought to write the governor a letter. I should have parked on that point longer. You ought to write him a letter and encourage him. Tell him to come down here. We'll protect him. We'll pray for him. If he don't back out, rub out these things, amen? But I want to say to you what's building up big. I'm not sure I got it in the right order, but the economy, that's trouble. War, that's trouble. Rapture, that's glory. But following that, the Bible says it's going to be a strong delusion on planet Earth. I won't turn to it for time's sake, but you can read it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Where God is going to send a strong delusion. Who's going to send it? God. Why? Because they believe not the truth. They rejected Jesus. They rejected the truth of God. God says, when I call my people out, I'm going to send them a strong delusion. And brother, that delusion is building fast. One of the astronauts, I've seen it several times. It was in the magazine I saw recently. One of the astronauts of Apollo 14 said, I still don't have his name popping in my mind, but he said in 2008 in a radio interview, he said, I've been briefed. We're not alone. The government knows it. Roswell was a cover-up. He said, but very soon a full disclosure is going to be made. You people listening to me are going, if the rapture don't take place soon, you're going to be told that the extraterrestrials are coming and they mean good for us. They're benevolent. In the old days, they would make movies about UFOs and the Twilight Zone. I told you I'd get to that. But they never made them out as good guys. How many of you know the first movie that James Arnaz ever played in? I see three or four hands, these old timers with me. It was called The Thing. And it was The Thing from outer space. And he was a great big guy. You never saw his face. You didn't know later on he was going to play on Gunsmoke for 100 years. But he showed up in a craft that crashed on the North Pole. And cheap little movie. I drove my old car that didn't have any brakes on it over to the Winter Haven Theater because it was a midnight special. It was around Halloween, supposed to be scary. It was scary to drive that car with no brakes on it, I'll tell you that. But anyway, got over there and a buddy of mine that's already gone to heaven, we parked that thing around back. Finally had to bump it into a telephone pole to stop it, but we got it stopped and we slipped in the back of the theater and we watched The Thing. And that thing come in and they couldn't kill it for a while. They tried to burn it, they wouldn't burn. They finally electrocuted it. But there was always the nutty professor that had to show up and say, it's friendly. Oh, don't hurt it. And so he rushed out there just before they put the power to it to fry him. The nutty professor, the bureaucrat, ran out there to hug him and tell him, we know you're smarter than us. We want to be your friend. And old James Arnaz just slapped the fire out of him. How many of you now want to see The Thing? But you know what? They said his coming was a bad thing. He intended us harm. Later on in Twilight Zone, they had several episodes having to do with UFOs, extraterrestrials. They had the one, did you ever see the one called, was it called The Cookbook?
Serve Man.
How many of you ever watched the Twilight? Hey, you got to know science. If you don't watch The Twilight Zone, man, you'd still get those old black and white things. To serve man. And they came down and they told it, man, all of us, that it was for our best. And finally, just as they got a load to take back with them, these dumb citizens, as they loaded up a herd of them and took them back, one woman come running, I've got their book and it's a cookbook. They are going to serve you on a platter. In the old days, they knew they were bad guys. We're going to be told in the strong delusion they're good guys. And they're going to have the answer to our economy. They're going to have an answer to our environment. Oh, that'll go big. They're going to stop all those carbon emissions. They're going to keep us from destroying ourselves. And we got a crew in power now that will present that to you for the truth. And to be politically correct, you will have to believe it if you're here. Amen. That's the strong delusion. They've already created, I've told you this before, they've already created a committee at the UN, United Nations, United Nuts up there. We're paying for with our tax money. They've already created a committee to welcome them. I'm not lying. They've got it. And NASA, right over here on our coast, is going to help propagate the propaganda and the lie. The propaganda and the lie. And they're going to tell you, and this is partly truth, that we've been communicating with them for years. And that a lot of our technology we have now was a gift from them. And it'll be a strong delusion. And if the rapture happens to take place, they'll conveniently explain why they had to take some of us nuts away to re-educate us. Strong delusion. Who's going to send it? God said he was going to send it. Hey, there's a lot out there tomorrow. How many tomorrows? I don't know. But it's coming, folks. It's coming. I want to say to you. Say, preacher, what do? Well, this is going to sound strange to you, but even when the weird stuff is going on, don't fear tomorrow. Don't fear tomorrow. The Bible tells us, occupy till he comes. And it's not talking about E.T. It's talking about Jesus. Amen. Occupy till he comes. Now I want to say to you, I believe time is short. The reason we have big days here at church, like our anniversary and all that we try to do, we want to get everybody saved we can. We want to tell them about the one that can take them away from this earth, that is benevolent, that is for their good. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ we sing about, and we preach about, and we know him as our Lord and Savior. That's the good news for tomorrow. If you look into all the rest of this stuff, not much good news there. But there's good news in Jesus. He is the good news. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. The way to go to the Father is through him. No other way. Our tomorrows are bright in Jesus Christ. I'm so glad I know the answer, because I'm just human enough that I don't know where I'd trust E.T. or not when he showed up if I wasn't saved. Huh? If he lands in my backyard, I hope my shotgun works. The truth of the matter is, there's a lot of folks going to be fooled. That's the big thing, folks. Our kids have been raised on it from the cartoons on. It's a benevolent thing. It's going to be a big delusion. The only thing that will keep you from falling for it is this. I don't know. I don't know what. I've seen the pictures of what they think they look like. Look like a pretty gross looking things to me. But that may be in style where they're at. I see some gross stuff here that's in style. Amen. According to some people. But just suppose that thing lands in Washington, D.C. And our president and others go out there and welcome them. I'm just being a little bit hypothetical now. But suppose he walks off that machine and says, see the nail prints in my hand? If you don't know this book pretty good, you might get deceived. Huh? There's a counterfeit showing up. Antichrist is showing up. I'm not sure he'll be the extraterrestrial. He may be the one that shakes hands with them when they show up. But I know one thing. I'll know my Lord when he comes. And the good part is he'll know me. And there won't be any mistake. Amen. Do you know him? I hope you know him tonight. Let's stand, please.